There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. Phone number and the text line, 343, they're the same, 343-0106 for a phone call or a text. And reminder, yes, 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 I keep harping on it, the FM Talk 106.5 app. What are the many things you can do with the app? You can leave us a talkback message. There's a microphone icon on the front page. You can press that, record the message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back. All right, my man Dale Leash from Lanyap is going to join us in just a second. I do want to read just a couple texts here, a few texts. No, just a couple. From two people, and then we'll get to Dale, because this, well, there's three, and then one's set up for Dale. So Billy says, the question I asked at the beginning of last hour, and I put that video up on Twitter on the X feed, you know, in searching for Hurricane Milton information. I saw this video last night, and then it algorithm sent it to me again today. The guy in Florida, the true Florida man moment, where he's standing outside his home, winds look like they're pushing 50 sustained, see, and he's smoking crack. I asked, not really interested in the crack part of it, but I was like, how, I need to know about that lighter that works in those kind of winds, because I like to, you know, like my emergency kit. And Billy said that's a laser lighter. Okay, so I got to look. Billy, if you can find it online, send me a link. I need one of those. Jason said, speaking of the tunnel, which we did at the beginning of last hour, did you see the latest message? And it's, OMG, Becky, look at that truck. It's so big. That's funny. When you can put Sir Mix-a-Lot into things, good for whoever did that at the Bankhead Tunnel. And this all started, of course, with Fire Dog, as we got in a conversation yesterday after talking to Spanish Fort Mayor McMillan about the causeway and projects to be done to alleviate, which will be more traffic on the causeway. It was Marty who said he wanted his ashes spread on the causeway. And then I suggested that we actually do a funeral pyre when he dies and burn him there alongside the causeway. And then Fire Dog suggested in that general area, his desire for a funeral would be to be going through the Bankhead Tunnel in a 22-foot tall truck. And then that's how they get rid of the body. I guess it smacks the Bankhead Tunnel. So Dale Leash, what do you think? As a way to go out, you have yourself smashed into the front of the Bankhead Tunnel.
Interesting.
Yeah, see?
That's a very interesting... I mean, there are probably worse ways to go.
That's right. And then whenever you would drive through there, the friends and loved ones would say, look, there's a little piece of Fire Dog in there, you know, and salute as you go by.
So wait, is that like a splat? Is that like a stain?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking it looks like. Yeah, that's what I think it looks like, for
okay,
sure.
Yeah.
So just a little... know,
sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug, man. I get it.
Thank you. I love that song. All right. So speaking of roads, see, this is that's the pivot, the segue there. Speaking of roads.
That's why you're the pro, man. That's why you're the pro.
And thank you. And the cover story for Lanyap this week, the flagship pay-as-you-go road program up again for Mobile County voters. Scott Johnson did the story. I have lived with pay-as-you-go in a discussion. I'm a fan of pay-as-you-go. I like it. I think it makes sense. I shamefully didn't know the history of this until this story rolled out. This is fascinating.
Yeah, it goes back such a long way that there was a newspaper called the Mobile News Item that talked about it, which I'd never heard of such a thing. So
the news item.
Kudos. kudos for Scott for digging that up, and then kudos to Mobile County for being ahead of the game a little bit. Yeah, this is one of those programs where it's like, you know, you always complain, people complain about, I don't know where my tax dollars are going. You know, the government needs to be more accountable for what they're spending my money on. This is one of those things where you can absolutely see where your tax money is going. And I think that's what people who, even hardliners who are against, like, all, you know, the taxation of theft people, even those folks are like, you know, probably not that bad. So, yeah, this is a, you know, 6.5 mil tax.
And this started to pay for the causeway. That's where it all comes together. We're just talking about the causeway, but this, so for those of us that have lived with pay-as-you-go, this was something that was put together to build that causeway.
Yeah, you'll be shocked it came about because they needed the causeway, and they were out of money. They couldn't borrow any more money. They were, you know, over-leveraged or whatever, and so they came up with this idea. And was it the 1920s, and they've been doing it ever since then. And the reason we talked about it this week is because it's coming up for it's coming up for an election. It's coming up on the ballot in November. So we just wanted to let people know that it's back up for re-election, I guess is the way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
To keep the money going towards those road projects. Now, another interesting part of this story is just how much of this they have to use for paving, because they've got, you know, miles and miles of dirt roads throughout the county. And so that was an aspect of the story is, you know, we've had pay-as-you-go for however many years we have now. We still have so many miles of dirt roads. And I think everybody would like to see, in a perfect world, all the dirt roads paved in the county. But you can absolutely see places where they're in the process of paving. They don't pave the whole road all at once. It's like segment by segment. It's really fascinating. I know on the surface it doesn't sound like it would be interesting to talk about roads and bridge money, but it is absolutely fascinating. And so I encourage you guys, if you want to learn a little bit about the history of the situation, but also about how the money is used and the ways that it's used, you should read this story.
I do. I mean, I'm doubling up what Dale says. Y'all need to read this, because I learned, you know, I've been in this business and I realized, holy cow, I'm ignorant on how all this works out there.
100%. 100%. And, you know, I focus almost entirely on the city and city issues. So for me, as somebody who doesn't know that much about how the county operates outside of the couple of years that I covered them, you know, 8 years ago, or 10 years ago, this is, it was fascinating. So yeah, you should pick it up. Definitely.
And I know there's probably people that are, you know, government kind of people can tell me why my thoughts are wrong on this, but the idea, like you said, half paved roads and all that, paying with the money you have, and I guess coming from the private sector, just makes sense to me. It's like this discussion is a state discussion of Highway 45, right? And how deadly it is. And the state LDOT saying, well, we don't have the money to do the whole thing right now, so we're not going to do anything. And I know this is not paid for the same way, but I said, hey, how about a little pay-as-you-go at that level where you go, you know, what needs to be done first? Maybe you can't do the whole project today, but can you add some extra lanes in the places where people have been killed? And then you add some more when you get more money. I mean, just it's always made so much sense to me. But then again, I'm not a government employee. I'm a, you know, private sector, so.
I agree with you. I think that would work for that scenario. I think there's some scenarios where you want to have all the money for it up front.
Well, the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. Yeah, that one I would say yes. The bridge project
but
in the
like,
Bayway.
Right. Because you want to have, you don't want that to take, I just feel like construction on that, construction for years and years and years on something like that would be much more detrimental to traffic flow than, say, widening segments of 45 where there's been an increase in accidents, or putting traffic lights or whatever you got to do to make it safer there. I don't travel 45 very much, so
God bless you.
Excuse me, but
no, but I'm happy you don't.
Yeah. So, but no, it also makes sense from just a fiscal standpoint to avoid borrowing money if you can. So, if you don't have to. You know, I think most people think of government, they think of, we'll get money for our match of this you know, what we need to pay off this loan. We'll get that up front. We won't get all the money up front, but we'll get that up front, and then we'll do the whole project, and then we'll spend years paying it back. That is a way that traditionally governments have done things, and it makes, you know, it makes a little bit of sense. You want, if you're doing a big investment, you know, we do it with our houses, stuff like that. You know, you're making a big investment, you make a down payment, you pay it off monthly, you know, monthly. But with this scenario, they're not necessarily doing that. They're you know, they're paying as they get the money, and it would make sense in a lot of I think a lot of respects, for sure.
Here's my next segue. So that is the cover story when you pick up the copy of Land App out on the streets now. But Land App is a daily, and I'm a online person, so I get
daily
to see
online.
Yeah, and I get to see it daily. And you just mentioned, like, for example, there's another story about to hit over at LandyapMobile.com. As of today, you're writing about, we were just talking about this the end of last week on the show, is mental health care access in the state. And it's been probably brought to a bigger discussion on the VA side of it and what happened on the board and the director. But this is something that is a legacy. It was the first term of Bentley, I think, when he started shutting down the state facilities. What's going on now with this? You got a story coming out on the website this afternoon.
Right. And I'm not saying that the solution necessarily is reopen all the mental health facilities, all the mental hospitals, because there were reasons why those residential hospitals were closed. But I will say we are the third worst state in the country when it comes to access to mental health care, right? That includes the percentage of, and it's based largely on insurance, right? So like a lot of it is either insurance doesn't cover mental health care, so if you might have insurance, you're gonna have to pay out of pocket for it. A lot of the times people are just uninsured and they can't get access to mental health. So a lot of it is insurance based here in Alabama. And we're the third worst state. We're actually the third worst in the states. If you add DC, so we're actually 48th out of 51.
Wow.
So it's access to mental health care. And so we got a lot of work to do. Now in fairness to the Alabama Department of Mental Health, we are, you know, that is solely insurance based. If you go to quality of care and some of the factors that lead into that, especially when it comes to like youth access to mental health care, specifically, you know, programs and schools and stuff, we're a little bit higher. I think we're 37th for youth access. If you factor in quality of care, we're still pretty low on overall access to care, but we're higher in some of the other factors. So I just want to point that out, that the state is doing things now that it wasn't doing, you know, during the pandemic years. So, you know, you've got more resources going to schools and things like that. So they're trying, but it is a worrying statistic when we're 48th out of 51 in access to mental health. We have got to do better as a state. And part of that, and I talked to some experts, expert from USA, professor from USA, who was a mental health, who had worked previously as a nurse practitioner in a mental health care facility. You know, her thing was there's still a stigma attached to mental health care, right? If you're going to therapy, if you're going to, you know, if you're getting medication for a mental health issue, you are having, you know, people might look at you a different way. It might be, you know, and that comes from sort of, that's a generational thing. I was talking to her and I kind of see it too. Like when I was growing up, I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, 2000s era. And it was sort of a situation where, you know, your parent, what do you have to be sad about? Why are you depressed?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. You heard that a lot, or, you know, I'll give you a reason to be upset, or something. not the most caring ways of parenting. It was the way, you know, my parents are great.
Made
these examples
tougher
from my childhood. My parents are great. I'm very thick-skinned. But you know, now that we know more about mental health care, especially in youth, I think you're seeing that change a little bit. Not only from a parental standpoint, but from a society standpoint. So those sorts of things are naturally occurring, but we probably need to do more to make it you know, to make it better.
How heavy of a lift is this? You mentioned insurance. Those, you know, as I look at something, okay, is there a triage list? Is the insurance thing the major issue? Is it there's not a place to go? There's, you know, if I was in a function with state government, I'm trying to fix this, you know, where, what's my number one, you know, the biggest problem, then number two, number three?
Well, you look at the state too. States that tend to be more rural, I think, are going to have more issues with access. Because what happens is, you know, if you're close to the city of Mobile, you've probably got access to resources that other people don't, right? But if you live on a farm in, you know, not mm-hmm. even Baldwin County, you live in a farm somewhere in the Black Belt or the middle of the state, where you're further away from care, you're going to be less likely to get it, right? So that's part of it too. You're worse off if you live in a rural community. I was going to say a farm in Baldwin County, but I mean that's just a short drive over. You could make that happen. I think also, what was the other thing? The insurance thing. Yeah, that you've got to like talk to insurance companies that aren't covered and be like, it's very important that you guys cover it. I don't know if it's something you necessarily need the government to step in and mandate, but I think if more people bring it up, if you see more people use mental health care coverage, they will use it. As an example, I'm on PHIP through my wife's work as a teacher, and they used to cover, I think it was 12 sessions with a therapist a year, so you could go once a month. They've, in the time that I've had PHIP, they have gone from that to unlimited. So they cover unlimited trips to a therapist. So you could go weekly if you needed to. And that's just in the time that I've been married, the 10 years I've been married, we've seen that increase. So I think you're slowly seeing that the problem kind of resolve itself. But I think if more people use the services and more people demand that the services be covered, I think you're going to see them, because they're businesses like anybody else. It's supply and demand, right? Yeah. So I think if you demand it more, I think it'll happen. So that's it. You know, it is a big lift. And closing all the hospitals all at once is probably, or slow, or within the same amount of time, is probably not the greatest. You know, the transition there is tough, but yeah. But I think we're doing states doing what it thinks it needs to do, and I think we could do a lot more insurance wise and help out.
All right, people want to check this story out. Of course, it posts the website, so tell them how to get signed up.
LanyetteMobile.com. Hit the subscribe button and get subscribed. It really helps us out. We're locally owned and operated. So it puts food on our tables, and it keeps us doing what we're doing, gives us the resources we can do it. It's also out every week. It should be out everywhere now in our purple boxes. Check it out.
All right, good stuff. Dale, I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there goes Dale Leash, and we're all coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 127 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Speaking of the promo there for Ask the Sheriff, so we moved some things around this month, schedule-wise and this and that. But coming up on Tuesday, Sheriff Paul Birch will be in. And if you heard this last month, we started getting Baldwin County Sheriff Lowry in as well. So we'll be doing that going forward. So I'll give you some times on that in the future. All right, to the text line here. My gosh, a bunch of them here. So this texter says, this is Billy. And Billy hooked me up, by the way, gave me the link to that Amazon to buy that lighter that the crackhead was using from Florida. I don't want to smoke crack, but a lighter that'll work in a 60-mile-per-hour wind, I'm in. Says, okay, insurance number one, because I asked this question of Dale Leash. You know, that's how I look at things. Give me a triage. What's the biggest impediment? What's second? What's third? And Billy said, insurance is number one, and talent is number two. It does not pay what people think. A PhD, $90,000 to $100,000. So that's, I guess, what they're paying in Alabama. Is that the going rate on that? I have a half-sister, my baby sister, does this as a works with children, right? Child therapist, and she's down in Dade County, Florida. I don't ever ask, you know, don't want to be rude, what she makes, but I know down there, and I don't know if it's the nature of her practice or where she is. They got a real nice house. And her husband, my brother-in-law, pretty sharp kid too. But so I don't know what they get paid there, but this is so $90,000 to $100,000 here. It's just the way I look at it, let's get real. You know, nobody protecting their own little duchy. What is going, what's wrong? Okay. And then what's the biggest impediment? Let's attack that first. Then what's the second biggest impediment? We'll attack that second. You know, go down the list out there. Also, Mark, well, we'll get to this. Mark said, hey, Sean, I was listening to the debate between Dobson and Figures today. And so that ran. So AL.com had their debate between the two. Said, as a Dobson supporter, I'm what I was able to watch in the debate. I was slightly disappointed in her performance. She has the policy and she has the good factual arguments, but she was not nearly as good at communicating her position as Figures. He's a lot like Obama. His policy is trash, but he's a very good speaker. It's unfortunate. Said, just tuning in now, but I haven't touched on it yet. I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you were able, I did not see the debate, but I will try to check that out tonight. I know it'll be online for AL.com. Yeah, and that may be, I think that's our last debate before November 5th. There may be one more, but I think that might be the last one. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. I'm good to check in with my buddy Blaine Price from Parish Kubota in Robertsdale, who got to see in person earlier this week when he's delivering some farm equipment. So I know we're going to talk about some other things, but he even got the Land Pride bush hog or rotary mower for me that matched my Kubota tractor. So that was a big win. Now, that's the best I've ever looked, man. A brand new piece of equipment that matches the tractor. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got plenty of Land Pride in stock right now. All the different attachments. We got the bush hogs, the pallet forks, grapples, finished mowers, box blades, a little bit of everything, all in stock right now.
And he also got to see my much-referenced old Kubota RTV when I talk about how the new ones look. And love mine, still run mine, but those new RTVs, man, for size and amenities, these things are fantastic.
Absolutely. And we have got quite a few of those in stock right now. We just unloaded another truck this morning with RTVs on it. And I will say on the RTV 850s, those are the gas burners that Kubota makes. They've got some pretty healthy rebates on them right now, up to $2,000. All of that qualifies for zero interest financing on the gas and the diesel RTVs right now, as well as all of our tractors, mini excavators, skid steers, and all the Land Pride attachments all qualify for that zero interest financing right now through Kubota.
So wait a second. So on the, you've got rebates and you have the financing at zero?
Yes, we do right now. So right now is the perfect time. Right here at the start of deer season coming up, to upgrade, we take trade in. So if you've got a four wheeler or another side by side that you want to trade in, we will take a trade in on the new ones.
Why do I think you're talking to me every time we do this directly? Why do I feel like you're?
Well, I just noticed yours wasn't a brand new one, so I just want to mention that.
You got my attention as well, and also people that aren't going, people have got maybe some work to do this weekend. Rental department pretty stocked up here with equipment.
Absolutely, we've got all the different sizes of the mini excavators, all the different skid steers, open cab, enclosed cab, with all the different attachments. We got plenty of tractors here at the moment. But I know that by the weekend, those will start to leave because it always happens this time of the year. On Fridays, everybody's looking to go to the woods and might need a tractor or an extra tractor to go get all these deer fields planted. So we've got all that in stock right now in our rental department.
All right. So that rental department and the new equipment, the RTVs, are all where? How do people find you?
We're right here in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. You can come by see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, or Saturdays, 8 till noon. Or give us a call at 251-947-4171.
Thank you, Blaine.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. There's Blaine Price from Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And let me do this. I'm bringing on my next guest, and who is right now, so listener of FM Talk 106.5, caller, texter to FM Talk 106.5, and he's kicking out books like a pop star kicks out albums or singles, but he wants to talk about something other than just, maybe we'll work his books into it. David Preston joining us now. Hey, David.
Speaking of my books, I've got my third one coming out in November.
See, this is out of control. It's ridiculous. Okay, it's ridiculous. There's, I mean, it's like, I would think, you know, writing a book, that's a thing I would do once in my life. And here you are, you're doing one, and we're talking, and then you got the next one. Now you got the next one. Good for you.
Yeah, the next one's going to be a modern day mob murder book based in New Orleans. So
that is good for you, because everybody, we've talked about this before. So many people, not everybody, so many people go, you know, I could write a book, but we never do. Right, we never do. You're one of the few that says, you know, the heck with it. I am going to do it and follow through, get it done, publish it, then do it again and publish it. Now I'm getting ready to do it a third time. Good on you, man.
Yeah, when you get your leg chopped off and you can't work anymore, you get it frees up your time to do that kind of stuff.
Well, no, so. but that's you know, you did a good thing instead of sitting there and doing nothing. So it's great reads. I've enjoyed the last two, so can't wait to see the third. But you've got an event coming up that you want to bring everybody's attention to. And when I read the title of this event, I said, if I come out, I feel like I have to be in some kind of linen suit or seersucker or something. But it's the Oakley Literary Lawn Party going on this weekend.
Correct. It's the Oakley Literary, first ever Oakley Literary Lawn Party. It's a book festival that is a fundraiser to support the historic Oakley Mansion and the historic Mobile Preservation Society that runs the mansion. And it's we're going to have about 25 authors that are going to be set up on the lawn of the historic Oakley House selling their books. And we're going to have authors that are going to be speaking about the process of writing books, about the speaking about their books. And, of course, the house will be open for tours as well at the same time. And so we're inviting everybody to come out Saturday, which will be the 12th, from 11 to 4, is when the festival's going to be happening.
Now, what, like I joked about my linen suit, but, I mean, do I have to dress for success at this thing? Or what? I mean, tell me about coming out.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. Okay. A t-shirt and blue jeans is okay. Fine. You can come in your Alabama or Auburn jerseys or even your South Alabama jerseys. Everybody is welcome. Even if you've never been to the historic Oakley District, which is the neighborhood around the house, I would encourage people to come to the festival just to check out the neighborhood, because if you like mid-20th century homes architecture, you're going to love the Oakley District. It's a beautiful neighborhood, and then the Oakley House itself is a beautiful house as well. So I mean, there's lots and lots of reasons to come to the book festival. The authors are just one of many reasons to come. As a matter of fact, we're expected to have great weather. I suspect strongly that the weekend weather scale tomorrow, not to steal Dr. Bill's thunder, is going to be a 2.0 weekend weather scale, the first that we've had in a while.
There's already people, they started on Dan and Dalton this morning, already people putting their guesses in at a 2.0. So I think you're probably with the majority thought on that. I want to ask you this question. And right here, the event will celebrate the rich literary history of Mobile in the Gulf Coast region. Like, I believe in that, but I'm also a homer, right? So I'm always trying to make sure that my Mobile colored glasses aren't fooling me. Do you think that's arguably that we have a deeper history here for authors?
I think we have a very strong argument that stands up against any literary area in the world, even Mississippi, you know, with Ernest Hemingway and all of the authors that have come out of Mississippi. Because think about this, Sean. Back in the antebellum time era, we had two best-selling female authors living right here in Mobile. That was unheard of for that time frame. Very few areas had one female best-selling author. Even fewer had two, with Augusta Evans Wilson and Octavia Walton LaVert both living, making their home here in Mobile during that time frame. That was just unheard of. And even to this day we have a rich literary history. As a matter of fact, some of the authors that are going to be at the event, I'm obviously going to be there. If you want to come out, get a signed copy of my book, my books, obviously I'll be happy to get you one. But if even if you want to just come out and see my new bionic leg, absolutely come by and ask to see it, and I'll be happy to show you. But we're going to have Paula Lenore Webb there, who's written a biography of Octavia Walton LeVert herself. Brendan Kirby is going to be there selling copies of Wicked Mobile. Another other local authors like Paul Brewski, who's just released a nonfiction book about the Civil War Battle of Spanish Fort, is going to be there. So, and we're going to have authors from multiple genres there. Don't just think it's going to be just Mobile or just nonfiction or just history. It's going to be, we're going to have authors from the Southern Gothic genre, as well as romance, as well as nonfiction authors. So it's going to be a good collection of a bunch of different authors.
Okay, so this gets started 11 o'clock on Saturday. It goes till 4. Is there... Just go ahead and plan to be there, or is there a website or anything they need to check out first, or just know to be there from 11 to 4?
Just know to be there from 11 to 4 at 400 Oakley Place. If you wanted more details about the authors that are actually going to be there, if you search for Oakley Literary Lawn Party on Facebook, there is a Facebook page. There's also a page on the Historic Oakley House website as well that you can check out. If you're an author looking for an event to do this weekend, we do still have some bring your own table and chair tents and tent spots available. So go to the website, sign up, and get your fees paid, and come out and join us for a time where the Boogie Chicks food truck is going to be there selling smash burgers as well, and other goodies that they have available. So we're going to have a good old time.
Good stuff, man. Well, best of luck at the event, and congratulations once again. You're cranking out the books. You're doing what everybody says, one day I'm going to do. Well, you've done it, man, so good on you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there's David Preston joining us. Yeah, I can't wait for the new book. Here's a listener and a contributor to these shows on FM Talk, and he's written, I've got a now going to be the third book in it. It's. Have y'all ever done that? Have you ever thought, man, I ought to write a book on something? I mean, I've got a couple ideas in mind, but taking that plunge, right, sitting down and starting to write that book, that's a challenge. It's a challenge for sure. All right, to the text line here. Still some text coming in here on the mental health story that Dale Leach has got coming out at maybe right about now over at landyatmobile.com. But there are different parts to this, and I appreciate the texter earlier that kind of gave me a breakdown on the triage of what was going wrong. You've got these – is it an issue of a place to go? Is it insurance? Is it people that take the job of being that therapist? I mean, everybody says mental health, mental health, mental health. Okay. So what are we doing about it? And to know that we rank third from the bottom in all the 50 states plus the District of Columbia, we can do better. A lot better. On the flip side, I get this too. So Bob said, Sean, I'm not poking fun at the mental health issue, but the gentleman on the radio mentioning how we were raised back in the 70s and 80s, and some of the phrases he was using triggered one that I heard from my mom all the time. Are you crying? I'll give you something to cry about. Well, Bob, I'm with you. I heard that same thing said. Or if my brother and I would roll our eyes at her, she would say, what did you just say to me? That's right. Remember, at least that's a generational thing. Did I roll my eyes at my parents? Absolutely. This is why it's horrible to have me as a father. I said, kids, when you roll your eyes at me, at least turn your back. Because that's what I used to do. Of course, I rolled my eyes at my parents. But I turned my back because I knew better. Like, self-preservation made me. It's why it's annoying with my kids. I'm like, you're going to do that. I said, all teenagers do. I say, your great-great-great-grandparents, that always shuts them down. I'm like, your great-great-great-grandparents had those same problems, and their parents were jerks too. So just turn around when you roll your eyes. We'll see where it gets me on that. Right. Let's see if we got. Yeah, we have time to get into this before the breaker. Maybe not. Do we? Okay. There's an interesting story here that came up a couple days ago from WPMI. And it was, I mean, I think it's probably on other news sources in the state. But it was about the Pappy Van. I call it the Pappy Van Winkle Lottery. Now, the state doesn't call it that. They call it their sweepstakes. But this is one of these stories, and yes, I harp on the ABC, the fact that the state of Alabama is in what I think should be the domain of the private sector. They're in the liquor business. And once again, still have ABC to monitor, make sure the kids aren't drinking underage. I'm for that. If we, the people of the state, decide we need an entity to charge a big excise tax on booze coming into the state so it can be filtered out elsewhere to run these operations, that's fine. But having the storefronts where the state operates a liquor store has always bothered me. Well, now the state is moving into what I call a lottery. They call a sweepstakes. I'll tell you more about that when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 152 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. By the way, heads up here. I know it's October, and for somebody like me, way away from Christmas shopping season, but there's a lot of responsible people, and if you want to get the best selection, maybe it's time to make the move to go see my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. And if you're thinking about buying one, maybe you need to think about buying two. And that's the number of people that Clint says come in, heard me talking about my e-bike that I got a couple of years ago. And I love my e-bike. Like I've told you time and time again, it's got me in my 50s riding the bicycle more than I did in my 30s and 40s. And no, it's not. You can run it all electric all the time. I use it in assist mode. Makes it just fun to ride. You get out and ride more, get more exercise. But if the number of people he said come in and they buy one and then they come back between days and weeks later to buy a second one because somebody else in the house is jealous of that e-bike. So think about that. If you're going towards Christmas shopping, maybe time to get two, or at least just get one, you know, for that special someone, and then you'll end up getting one for yourself. Great selection, over 75 e-bikes in stock at any point. And there are a bunch of different kind of designs and range and battery power and all that. And the beauty is, Clint is, he lives this world. He knows it inside and out. So you get professional advice from Clint when it comes to buying your next e-bike. Or if you want one without the electric, without the battery, he's got 400 of the non-e-bikes in stock at any point. And he's a good old-fashioned bike shop, too, where they do the repairs there. They do the service work right there at the store, Adventure Earth Bicycles, at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown. They're online. You can see them there. When you go do a little, you know, little pre-shopping at adventure-earth.com. But you got to go in person, see the e-bikes, take a test ride, see what I've been talking about all these years, and check it out at Adventure Earth Bicycles, and maybe go ahead and get that Christmas shopping done. Now, to the text line here, this one's quick, and I want to get this other story. Otto said, hey, Sean, just one quick question. Inflation's up by 17%, and Social Security is going to go up by 2.5%. What's that about? It's about 14.5% short, isn't it, Otto, the way I see it? All right, to finish out with this story, because it's a perennial with me. But so they've got the sweepstakes is open now with the ABC stores. Eight ABC stores in the state of Alabama have the right to sell the limited edition. I think they're all bourbons. It's really kind of, it's pretty much around getting the Pappy Van Winkle, right? It says beginning Monday, October 7th, ending Sunday, October 27th at 5 p.m., Alabama residents of legal drinking age will have the opportunity, y'all, to buy a product, to enter the ABC Select Spirits 2024 limited release sweepstakes, where 150 winners will be drawn at random for each location listed below to purchase restricted quantities of highly coveted whiskey brands. Lucky winners will have the chance to purchase Alabama's allocation of Pappy Van Winkle bourbon and other limited quantity whiskeys at eight selected ABC spirit stores. That happens on December 14th. It goes to also, if you've got to be legal age, Alabama driver's license, okay. What I'm getting to here is in our fair state, where the state is in the business of selling booze, right? In the booze selling business. There's a whole bunch that goes with that. And in a place where you have a limited edition bourbons, highly coveted. That opportunity is not going to the free market, the privately owned liquor stores. It goes to the state. So that's the first burr under the saddle. Second here is, sure, it is a sweepstakes. You can't use the word lottery because there's no money being paid to get in. but you're going to be drawn at random, which is not a game of skill, is it? No, it's a game of chance. And I would argue that the people that are drawn in this are going to spend money. So there is money involved. If you're drawn, I guess you could say you could get drawn and not go shop. But you're drawn, you're going to go buy the Pappy Van Winkle for me. Or I hope. So by this game of chance, you then spend money, which puts money into the mix of this random opportunity. So once again, not again, you know, how they talk about as they try to parse out the gambling laws, and I don't use a gaming term, but as they parse out the gambling laws in our state, they'll say, is it a game of skill or is it a game of chance? Well, there's no skill to win the sweepstakes with the ABC stores. It is a game of chance. And if you are successful in this game of chance, then you spend money. So I would argue that here we have the state of Alabama still in the business of selling booze, and they're holding a lottery sweepstake thing there. In our area, if you want to take part in this, the ABC store in Fairhope, the one in Theodore, they both will, I guess, be participating in this. And this lottery, this sweepstakes, sorry, not lottery. We know it's not a lottery. It's a sweepstakes. So good on you, state of Alabama. There you go. All right, Paul Feinbaum takes over. Tomorrow, big day, too, because number one, we'll give you a chance to win that $100 gift certificate to Mason Hills Farm. And I think I'll take the old FM Talk 106.5 van or just my truck and meet y'all out at Smoke on the Farm. That starts tomorrow out in Grand Bay at Joey's Place. We'll talk more about that tomorrow.